Good afternoon, David.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, David. It's great to be with you today.
It is indeed. Now, Peter, you have an interesting story. I've been running your commercial for a little while, and I would encourage people to go out and buy your book. It is such an amazing book. It's an evangelistic tool as well. Tell me a little about your story.
Well, David, you know, my life didn't get off to a very good start. I mean, it's great that as we approach Christmas and, you know, we can celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, just I was only 1 year old when, as a baby, when I was involved in a house fire. And as a result of this house fire, I received some serious injuries, some serious burn injuries, whereas I've got 65% burns to the body. I've had both of my feet partially amputated. And my left hand partially amputated as well. I've got a big scar on my left hand side of my face. But don't worry, folks, I'm still a good looking lad, so they tell me. but yeah, so you can imagine, not a very good start, David, you know. And life didn't get any better, really, because I was brought up in a very rough environment in West Yorkshire on the council estates of Halifax. I was dragged up basically, and soon, you know, my life went off track, and I was in trouble with the police at a very young age, and basically my life was basically lost at the age of 13 years of age. I appeared before the courts, and I was charged with 101 offences. And, you know, life didn't get any better. When I was 15, I was stabbed on the top deck of a double-decker bus in a gang fight, where I lost the use of my right arm for 2 years.
Do you think this was due to a tremendous anger inside you?
I think that, to be honest with you, when I look at it from a Christian perspective, I mean, I wasn't under the blood of Jesus. I didn't have God's protection on my life at that time. And as we know, when you're in the world, it's a very volatile place. And, you know, the places and the people that I hung around with, you know, were pretty dangerous places and people to hang around with, to be honest with you.
Mm.
And, you know, and yeah, I did have a lot of anger within me as a result of what happened to me. I mean, you know, who wouldn't? You know, somebody stabs you, tries to kill you, you know. Burnt as a child, as 1 year old, you know, grew up with a lot of resentment and a lot of question marks over my life. So yeah, not a very nice upbringing, shall we say.
So what happened to change all of that, Peter?
Well, praise the Lord. I mean, you know, I contemplated suicide. My father actually took his own life, and I thought about going the same way, because basically I couldn't get released from this past of mine. And, you know, a lot of people get stuck in the past. They can't move forward, and I was one of them statistically. And it was really wearing me down, and I was depressed. And I was just totally out of it, and I thought, well, that's the only way for me also, suicide. But incredibly, one Sunday morning, whilst in my mom's front room, you know, I wasn't in a cathedral or a church, I was in my mom's front room, and this is what blesses me about your station, David, that you speak into people's front rooms.
Yeah.
And I tell you, God spoke into my heart in my mom's front room through my sister, who my mom rang her because I was in such a devastating state. She'd never seen me like this before. She passed me the phone. My sister said to me, Peter, I walked into a church 8 weeks ago. She said to me, Peter, I'm not going to give you a quick fix. She says, I'm going to tell you that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life, and he wants to give you a brand new start. Well, I'll be honest with you, David, I was so low, I was so out of it, I was so lost, you know, that I tell you, you know, if the JWs had knocked on the door, I think I'd have answered. But anyway, I won't go there. But believe you me, I was lost.
Mm.
And yeah, I surrendered my life to the telephone.
How old were you?
I was 30.
30 years old.
I committed a Christian at the age of 30.
And your sister, she had given her heart to the Lord 8 weeks before.
8 weeks before, yeah, she'd walked into a church in Buttershaw in Bradford, and she was just compelled to go at the front and give a life to Jesus. I mean, none of my family, none of our generations have got a Christian background. It's incredible the way that God has broken that curse, that generational curse, and has come into our family. And, you know, we've had such a wonderful experience of God in our family since that time. I mean, God.
What happened to you immediately you committed your heart to Christ?
Well, I think that, well, definitely I went from, you know, wanting to live again. I felt different. Obviously, I wasn't, you know, fully restored, but I felt different. I felt that something had just happened in a spiritual sense. It's almost like, if you can imagine the butterfly, you know, sort of hatching from being a caterpillar. Mm. It was almost like that. I sort of, you know, it was like, wow, what is this? You know, I knew something had happened inwardly. And obviously now I know it to be, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anybody in Christ is a new creation, the old has gone and the new has come. So yeah, that for me was you know, where I felt Christ. And to be honest with you, David, I actually thought I saw Christ. I mean, it's hard to explain whether I did, whether I was mentally upset, emotionally, you know, distraught at that time. I don't know, but I actually saw someone in the front room of my mom's house, and I believe that to be Jesus. And he was holding his hands out to me, saying, "Come to me, Peter, and I will give you rest."
Oh wow, that is amazing. How did your life transform from that point? I mean, what then happened? What's the next part of your story?
Well, the thing is, David, that, you know, just like, you know, just like anything, we, you know, we've got to execute, you know, what God has given us to do. And, you know, remember that you know, bullseye that we used to have on the TV many, many years ago, you know, Bernie the Bull, aim, fire. And the thing is, you know, that I felt that God had called me to do something. And the thing is that I really felt that God was firing me to go to Bible college, and I went, and after a couple of years. And not that Bible college made me a better spiritual person, but the thing, what it did do for me is it grounded me in the truth. It gave me a massive foundation, a firmer foundation in Jesus. And so, yeah, I went to Bible college. I met my wife there. I got a beautiful Swiss wife. I mean, can you imagine it, the life that I'd lived, you know, to receiving this beautiful woman that God had sent into my life. She's a Swiss lady. And, yeah, God just totally restoring my life. I went to work for, after I left college, I went to work for a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre. God always uses our past, you know, sometimes to reach into people's futures. And that's what I found in my life. So I worked there for about 2.5 years. And then incredibly, God opened up a door for me to go work as a probation service officer at Winchester Prison. I mean, I was in prison on remand when I was 13 years of age. Myself, I was in there for 3 months. You know, can you imagine? I mean, that's grace, man. That is grace.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like Joseph from prison to palace. It's like, you know, I mean, I was there for 2.5 years, and then I was offered a job to represent the probation service at the Crown Court. You know, and it's like, I'm a Yorkshireman, I'm an ordinary guy. But the thing is, David, I know, I'm in contact with an extraordinary God.
Absolutely.
And he opened that door for me, and so I ended up mixing with judges and solicitors and barristers and, you know, often called into judges' chambers to give an assessment on a sentence. And, you know, I mean, that can only be God.
And it's quite clear, Peter, that your ministry is going from strength to strength right now. What are you doing currently?
Well, we've had a fantastic year. We go into prisons all around the country. We share the good news of the gospel. We share that Jesus is opening the eyes of the blind. You know, I mean, there's a scripture that really sums it up for me for our prison work. And it's 1 Samuel 2, verse 8, where it says, "He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, and has them inherit a throne of honor."
Amen.
And the thing is, God is doing that in our prison ministry. We're seeing people surrender their lives to Jesus and then being followed up by the chaplains, going on to Alpha courses and discipleship courses. So, you know, we're really excited about that work. We go to churches. We've got churches all over the country, again, sharing the gospel and trying to build a bridge as well between prisons and churches.
Mm.
Because we need to have compassion. Jesus had compassion. Matthew 25:36, I was in prison and you visited me.
Yeah.
You know, I was hungry and you fed me. Jesus had compassion, and we've got to have the same compassion. So we go to churches as well. We go to homeless shelters. We've just done a beautiful ministry up in Stoke-on-Trent with Man of Ministries. Beautiful work with the homeless there. We were in Wakefield a few weeks ago. Do you know Wakefield has got 1,500 homeless people as we speak, David?
Oh, my goodness.
1,500 people on the street. Can you believe, you know, and then in 2012... You know, so we're going into homeless shelters and we're preaching the gospel. I'm sharing my story of Out of the Ashes. I've just had an amazing, you know, I had an amazing trip recently to Canada, where we were able to go out there and share with the Canadians. And also, the good news is that my book, Out of the Ashes, has just been translated into French. So we've been over to France this week, last weekend, and we launched Out of the Ashes book.
Now, there's a black hole if I ever saw one.
It's so dark over there. Oh, it is. You know, but we've got to chip away. We've got to be obedient to what God is doing. And, you know, we just pray that France, you know, opens its heart to God and,
Amen.
You know, and just allows God to transform it. You were talking about transformation. You know, France needs it. French people need that transformation, just like we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's only going to be by a move of God, an unprecedented move of God that's going to happen.
Peter, finally, tell me why you think that Worship Radio 247 is an important ministry.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I listen to your music, not just your music. Your music is so inspiring that you play. But I have to say this, and you know, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, David. You're such an inspiration and a guy to know. I tell you now, you're anointed. You've got God's mantle upon you. You're reaching out to people, but you're reaching out to ordinary people,
Amen.
And I love that. I love that. I know people who you're contact with, and these people are grassroots people like myself. And I just thank you that you've got a heart and a compassion, you know, to present Worship 247. I mean, I'd say to anybody out there, if you can support this ministry, wow, get on board, because this is a God anointed ministry for this time.
Bless you, sir.
Bless you, David.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. If people want to get buy an inspirational book for someone at Christmas, they can go to www.outofashes.co.uk.
And I commend that book very, very highly.
Thank you, David.
God bless you.
God bless you and have a wonderful day.
And you, sir. And we will stay in contact. That is Peter Gladwin there. I'm so grateful to God for what he is doing in Peter's ministry. We're going to continue now with worship. How about this? She's gorgeous. This is Third Day and Children of God.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God.